Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Mark.
I'm Jesse.
And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists by track. And who are we doing today?
Well, we're doing Lost in Translation, the soundtrack.
This is a special episode.
This isn't just any soundtrack, it's a cultural milestone in both film and music. And today we'll talk about the film, its cultural impact, and the groundbreaking work Kevin Shields and Brian Raitzel did, blending shoegaze with dream pop to set the tone of being a foreigner in a vibrant, wondrous city like Tokyo.
Do you remember the first time you saw this movie? The first time you heard the soundtrack? The first time you stole a kiss?
Well, I saw this movie when it was released on DVD, and because I was in high school, and I didn't really have many friends that would have been into this film, so the only way is to drive out to some theater in downtown, you know?
Yeah.
Because they weren't showing this at my suburb theaters. But anyway, so I had to wait for it to come on DVD. And the first time I heard the soundtrack, though, it was when the movie came out. And I bought it from Borders. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the place to be. And I liked it. Anyway, I got it from there. What about you?
I was waiting for you to ask me, but you had a lot to say. I don't know. I saw it in the theaters when it came out, and I wasn't in the mood for it when I saw it in the theaters. But then I saw it on the plane coming back from Spain. Remember recently?
Yeah.
I told you I watched it, and I appreciated it on a whole new level.
It took you that long?
To see it again? Yeah.
Wow. I watched it over and over. That was just... That was my 2004, was just this film and maybe a couple of other CDs.
Did you vibe with the Bill Murray character?
Yeah. Does he remind you of me?
No, she does.
Oh, ouch.
That's not a bad thing. I see you staring off into the, like, buildings out the window often.
Okay. And you're Bill Murray.
I'm Bill Murray?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that. But I'm cynical, but you're a little cynical too.
Yeah.
But in more of a, like, high school way.
So when the film premiered, it was shown all over from, you know, late 2003 to early 2003. It had a budget of $4 million, but it grossed 118.7 million.
And as far as awards and nominations, it got nominated for an Academy Award.
A bunch of things.
76th Academy Awards. Picture, director, actor. And it won Best Screenplay.
Yeah,
it had
Sofia
Coppola's first.
Had a good year.
It had a good year.
But so we're here to talk about the soundtrack that released in 2003 on Emperor Norton Records. And it was produced by Brian Raitzel. We'll be saying his name a lot.
And the track... Do we want to go through all the tracks? Why don't we just go do them?
There's 15.
There's 15, and we're going to do them all.
Or so gird your loins. There's maybe more.
Okay, overview of the film. Tell us about it.
So for those unfamiliar, Lost in Translation is a 2003 film directed by Sofia Coppola. And it's based on her life before becoming a film director and wandering around Tokyo with no sense of direction, literally and metaphorically. And it follows Charlotte, a college graduate accompanying her husband on a business trip, and Bob, an aging actor. The two start to form a connection as they navigate the neon world of Tokyo.
Sofia Coppola's direction is known for its dreamy, soft, poetic detail, and this film is definitely, what would you say?
I'd say it's a looker.
From the photographic visuals to the neon-filled locations, everything about it feels
just ultra dreamy and meditative.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Kind of like now.
Yeah.
And the music plays a huge role in that dreamlike meditative quality.
Despite that it's a pop culture landmark, you see references to... Well, not despite it. Anyway, you see references to Lost in Translation everywhere, in music videos, fashion, art,
everything, like
everywhere.
2018, Shawn Mendes he paid a homage to the film in his video Lost in Japan.
Yeah, it was okay.
No thoughts.
The weekend's video for Out of Time includes shots that were
nice.
Yeah.
And the New York bar in the Park Hyatt, Tokyo, that's what it's called, the New York bar. And it made a drink called LIT, inspired by the film, which includes...
No one was doubting you.
Sake and Sakura, peach tree, and a cranberry drink. Have you been to the Park Hyatt in Tokyo?
I haven't.
That's cute.
Yeah.
You guys stayed in a room?
I had my own.
You had your own room?
Yeah. You think I slept with my parents?
I don't know. You told me. So, what do you remember about it? Was it fun?
Yeah. I mean, it's huge, and the whole city is kind of overwhelming when you're there. And as a child with ADD, it was a good time.
Awesome. And I've come across things that give me Lost in Translation vibes, like Murakami's novel After Dark, which is about finding oneself among nightlife in Tokyo.
You read that?
I did.
Gucci's 2016 campaign by Glenn Luckford and Alessandro Michele, shot in Tokyo, seems to be influenced a lot by Lost in Translation. Describe the video.
It's...
Or the ad.
Models in Tokyo.
On with scooters.
With subtitles, like hypnotic music drifts.
And we recently watched the Netflix show Online Love, which, tell us what it's about.
So it's about foreigners finding love and connection in a beautiful city without the aid of electronics. So their connection is more fate-driven, you know?
What beautiful city is this take place in?
Nice, France.
Have you been?
We were just there in April. That's funny. And so, yeah.
Other films like this that deal with human connection against the backdrop of a culturally rich city include...
Darjeeling Limited.
Call Me By Your Name.
And A Real Pain.
What's A Real Pain?
I don't know if that's the same thing, but I just saw it on the plane, and it's...
Jennifer Aniston.
It's these two cousins, and they go to Poland, and they build a connection while they're there, I guess.
Okay.
But they already know each other. I don't know. Is the...
Well, that cleared everything.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Hmm.
Yeah. Roy Cook. Anyway. The film, Her, also has vibes similar to Lost in Translation, wouldn't you say? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's funny because they were saying, like, this is Sofia Coppola's diss to Spike Jones.
Mm.
And then he made a movie about... That there was rumors that that was supposed to be Sofia Coppola in the film. His wife that he gets a divorce with. Whatever.
They were married.
Yeah, and they got a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose wife?
From the movie Her. He has a wife.
Oh, yes.
In the film, and they're going through a divorce.
I thought you were saying his wife, Sofia Coppola. I was like, yeah, we've established that. Okay.
Anyway, allegedly...
That's what I work on every day, that technology.
AI.
And emotion.
What do you know?
Okay. Go on.
Okay. Allegedly this soundtrack is partly responsible for reviving shoegaze music.
You'll see what I have to say about this in a minute.
I told one of my... I used to be in script writing classes. And one of my scripts, I said, you know, when the movie ends, it plays shoegaze music. And I turned it into my professor, and he kept, like, circling that with a big question mark. And it's like, it's obviously...
A genre of music.
Yeah, like, why are you hating? Anyway. I think there's also a filter called the Sofia Coppola filter that's supposed to make your photos on your look like this.
And one. You haven't... You're like the filter queen king.
I am not the filter queen king. Okay. I never use filters.
No, the things that, you know, like distort you and make you have big eyes. Those are filters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, there's an Instagram called Duos in Translation that just depicts famous characters with AI in that to look like the Lost in Translation.
We should do one.
Scene. Yeah.
You know, I love getting pictures taken. But let's talk about what stands out. Despite the amazing cinematography, what are we here to talk about?
The soundtrack.
Baby. Which is by
Brian Raitel.
And?
Sophia. And the music? I don't know.
You wrote that?
Anyway, Brian Raitel and Sophia Coppola had mutual friends, so when she made her directorial debut, The Virgin Suicides, she asked him to help with the music for her soundtrack. So, she was pleased with the result and decided to have him choose music for her next film, Lost in Translation.
She's pleased with the result?
She said, yeah. What do you want? Give me some trivia. Brian Raitel made a compilation of mixes. He made compilation mixes based on Sophia telling him the mood of the film would be moody and melancholic.
And these helped Sophia write to film. It helped her to write the film. And while she listened to the music, and she decided she wanted the soundtrack to sound like these mixes.
Yeah. Brian said he chose the music that would convey the feeling of traveling to a place like Tokyo, and that has this kind of strange floating jet-lagged weirdness. So he made three mixes called Tokyo Dream Pop 1, 2, and 3.
And his homemade CDs were filled with a selection of ambient tracks, everything from the Jesus and Mary Chain to Brian Eno. We had the same taste in music.
Nice. You could have been somebody. Well, he was also inspired by Sophia's mood boards and photo books.
He was inspired by those in Marie Antoinette as well. Yeah. He said the same thing.
Yeah.
So. Just copy-paste.
There you go.
He's like working with Sophia Coppola.
She has nice mood boards. Anyway. There's also original songs created for the film by Kevin Shields from My Bloody Valentine and Air.
Oh, Kevin Shields is who I'm talking about. Okay. You'll see in a minute.
Okay.
I confused myself. This soundtrack encapsulates the resurgence of 80s music that was happening at the time with electroclash and post-punk revival coming from New York City bands.
Would you agree?
Yes, completely. This was my,
2004, early 2000s felt like a East comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the 80s felt like the 2000 was going to be... Because in the 80s, everyone was like, ooh, the year 2000 is
right.
Like, there was a TV show called Space 1999. That was supposed to be, what the world was going to be like in 1999, and everyone's living on the moon.
Well, that brings us to the first track. Intro.
Oh, we haven't even started yet.
Tokyo.
You need a little pink wig.
Yeah, we have a long black wig. But pink wig.
We have a little blonde one.
Yeah, we have a blonde bob and a long pink wig. And you just bring them together.
And that little, brown, yeah, sassy that's enough. One.
So this is basically a 30-second intro that establishes the environment of the film, The Bustling City of Tokyo. And it is by the film soundtrack. Sound designer, Richard Beggs. So it's like that track in Marie Antoinette. That, you know, the first track that sounds like the horses and the bells. And
yeah,
the,
I yeah. know.
So we're going backwards.
To go forwards. as far as production includes Japanese pop songs like Lost in Translation, Kitsaki to Te Ayo, and Carpe Diem.
By Ima Konoshin Kwanwa. You know, Ikiro. And it's all by Yellow Generation.
And in the film it plays while Charlotte is walking in the streets of Shibuya among the city people. She seems kind of lost.
Yeah.
But also happy to be lost.
Right. Yeah.
Next song, number two, is City Girl.
This is by Kevin Shields.
Brian Raitel met Kevin Shields at a music festival in Osaka in 2001 and told him he wanted to work with him on a film someday.
Yeah, so Kevin agreed, and he recorded the songs for the film in Camden, England, and he only worked at night because he's a vampire.
Maybe he's got a day job at, the donut shop.
Yes. Kevin asked Brian to play the drums at 8 in the morning, and they made this song. I guess so. It has that 8 in the morning feeling.
Yeah. It also has the feeling that it was done in one take, and it was recorded straight to tape.
Yeah.
I mean, what was there back then?
Oh, digitized files existed then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, according to Brian, it's got two it's two guitars, a drum set, and a bass. That's all it is.
As far as the song meaning, the lyrics are dreamy, innocent, and simple. But what is it about?
It seems to be about infatuation and beauty.
Tell me.
I feel love, I know. And you, city girl, you're beautiful. Okay. What if I just went up to you on the street and said that?
I don't know, but I thought I was sitting next to Akon.
Anyway, it plays a little bit in the opening shot of Charlotte laying on the bed and the title appearing.
Charlotte is Scarlett Johansson, by the way.
Yes, she is.
I don't know if we mentioned that.
No.
I feel like whenever every time I see Scarlett Johansson talk or be interviewed, I always think that she's not this person.
Like she's Kathleen Turner? What are you talking about?
She's not this character.
Yeah.
Like, I want her to be the character from Lost in Translation. And instead, yeah. She's like this kind of, like...
Her evolution is kind of interesting. And then she got into singing after this. She's not on the soundtrack, though.
Let's listen to something from her.
Okay.
Okay, what'd you think?
Track her fulfilled.
She's good. She has a good, you know... Actually, it's so weird, her whole, like, AI debacle, that she was the voice for her, because when you listen to her sing, it's like, if you told AI, do, like, white woman, like, blues.
Yeah.
And it would just be, she would be, like, the ChatGPT version of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. It's good for its genre, but it's there's nothing about it where you're like,
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So, Shield's production techniques were influenced by a range of producers and artists.
Sorry.
And he has stated a dislike for the word.
I'm sorry.
Wet and liquid.
Brian Reitzel said he didn't like shoegaze.
Oh, he didn't?
You said it at the beginning of this podcast. He said he wanted to, like, move away from the whole shoegaze thing.
No.
Yes.
I don't remember saying that.
I just spilled more tea.
He said the use of stereo in the 80s was part of a weak corporate sound. Shields records and produces largely in mono.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Well,
Dark Sparkler did a Boochla City cover.
And there's also a cover by Silent Wives.
Silent Wives? How is that a name for a band?
Somebody was dreaming, like, wouldn't it be nice just to have Silent Wives?
It sounds more like an abusive thing where it's like my...
Yes. Would you say you're a city girl?
I can't decide if I'm a city girl, a country girl, or a coastal girl. Coastal girl.
Okay, girl. Coastal. Anyway, we got the next track, and that's Fantino.
Cottagecore had its moment, but I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all about ravecore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I can't stop thinking about what that would look like.
This is an instrumental track from French artist Sebastian Tellier. Shit.
What?
I'm just gonna figure out how to say his name, but I don't know if
Tellier?
That's how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay. His first album, L'Incroyable.
We've been in France for like 6 weeks. Yeah. Which, for the three people that follow the show, including shout out to a Twink guy?
I don't remember. He said, this is such a Twink podcast.
So shout out to you. You're the first message we've ever gotten, so.
Yeah.
Everyone else, you should go on and send us an email.
Yeah.
At sonicserial@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Because we desperately want to know.
Okay. Anyway, his first album is called L'Incroyable Vérité. L'Incroyable Vérité. And it came out in 2001. And rumors has it that he wanted listeners to listen to this album by candlelight.
That's a lot.
I don't care. Well, Brian Reitzel may have become familiar with Tellier's work while touring with Air in 2001, since Tellier was the band's opener.
But they probably first heard from him when he represented France in the Eurovision Song Concert in 2008 with his song. Did you know that?
Yeah, crazy.
Speaking of Divine, I played you some Divine the other day.
Yeah.
It did not sound like what you thought it would.
No.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Yeah, check out Divine, the drag singer from John Waters films, and so much more. She has music, and it's the bomb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this song is carried by retro-sounding organs, mellotrons, and...
This film?
The song and guitars. It sounds quite mysterious and gloomy.
There's a lot of, for such an odd instrument, the mellotron, we talk about it a lot.
I like it. I don't know.
Tellier has
I'm just saying it's popular.
Within the kind of music you like.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. Tellier has played live throughout his career and recorded an acoustic version of his 2006 album, Sessions.
Yeah, that's cool. And how would you say this is used in the film?
What? Where are you?
I'm right here. It was right before what you just said, anyway.
Wait, no, excuse me. What did you just say?
You just said that Tellier's played this live throughout his career.
Go on.
I just want to know how it's used in the film.
Oh.
It's like, it serves as the music in Charlotte's head as she tries to occupy herself alone in the hotel room by putting on makeup, decorating the room, or just looking out the window.
You do a lot of that.
Yeah, all of that. It conveys the tone of boredom, apathy, and melancholy. It's a real lockdown vibe.
Yeah. And Tellier has played this live throughout his career and recorded an acoustic version of his 2006 album, Sessions. I already said this.
Yes, you did. And in the film, or anyway, Lost in Translation is the first song or TV show to feature Sebastian Tellier's music. And now he is a film composer. I think he did a film with Denise Richards in it. Good old Denise.
What was the Trixie and Katya thing about Denise Richards?
I don't know if I'll ever hear.
Denise Richards again.
Yeah. Well, I downloaded the album.
Shout out to We Miss You.
Yeah. Okay. I heard this. I downloaded the album a few years later. And I've been a fan since, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of songs on this that I like just because I like the bands and...
Yeah.
The vibe. But we heard on Spotify the full, it says like the full soundtrack, and it has a lot of like weird stuff on there, like stuff that doesn't seem like it belongs. Like, who's on there?
Pat Benatar.
Oh, and Chrissy Hynde. Just, I don't know. That's all I gotta say.
You know, a lot of the music in this film is non-diegetic.
Tell us about non-diegetic.
Well, that's where it's like the score, because diegetic music is where it exists within the fictional world of the album, like a radio or DJ, you know.
And non-diegetic is when it's used in the background.
No. Non-diegetic is when it's like the god of
y'all
the film
can look it up.
Is humming, or the cameraman is humming.
Let's talk about Tom Ibb, track number 4. It's like if knives came out of the headphones and stabbed me in my ears.
Oh my god. This is an instrumental electronica lullaby by Square Pusher off his 2001 album Go Plastic. And I can't believe you did that. That's a good song.
Did what?
The name Tommy comes from a file named Aphex Twin Cave when they were collaborating on a project together.
We talked about it during our Aphex Twin podcast.
Yeah, and I think maybe when we talked about Square Pusher and the Marie Antoinette podcast.
That too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's an interwoven.
It's like no one wants to expand outside their horizons.
I mean, who's got time?
Who's Exactly.
It's hard to expand within your horizons.
So yeah, it could be a play on Squarepusher's real name, which is Thomas. Oh. It's a minimal electronic piece that uses a synth and a piano organ sound. And how's he using...
Wait, synth, piano, organ sound? So it doesn't use those instruments?
It uses a synth, piano, organ sound. It doesn't okay. use the instruments, it's the sound.
But not the sound that comes from the instruments.
It's a synth.
Okay.
Probably. Anyway, what, how's it used in the film?
It serves as Charlotte's meditative and relaxed state of mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, the way that it's used in the film is she's sitting in her hotel room.
Yeah.
I don't know why I read your notes. She's sitting in a hotel room.
Right.
And she's just looking out through this amazing view of Tokyo.
No, that's not how the story goes. I'm kidding.
And
have you done that?
Yeah. I'll show you some pictures from when I did that at Tokyo.
Aww.
And it wasn't even related to this film. I think it's just something that happens when you're there.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Such a vibe.
It is.
Anyway, Squarepusher has performed this live twice in 2001, once in San Francisco, and once at Coachella.
I was at that Coachella.
Oh, yeah. You saw that. That was the first one, wasn't it?
Yes. Or second.
But
early.
And did you see Squarepusher?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of covers.
What are your favorites?
There's the Prophet Rev 2 synth cover.
Okay. There's an arrange for 8-string guitar. Which one of these do you want to listen to?
I'm going
to
say the Squarepusher piano.
Okay. And then there's the Lowly Appreggio cover, but we're not going to listen to that. We're going to listen to the Squarepusher piano. Take a listen.
No.
What?
I don't know. There's also quite a lot of remixes.
What's your favorite?
I don't know. Oh, it's this. It's the Grimoire Collection Creations, and it's featuring Sal FX.
Let's listen.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You get the
we
point.
We both start bobbleheading at the same time.
Anyway.
So, some trivia. Brian Reitzel made a song called 50 Floors Up that sounds like Tomib. And it's included in the last track of the Japanese edition of the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's a wild one.
You know who else did that? It was Merwise. You know how he did a song for Madonna, but then he had a version on his song that sounded almost the same, but without her annoying vocals hold for them.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Tell us.
My brother had this album when it came out, and this was my favorite song off of it, so.
Shout out, Andre. The song number 5, Girls.
Yes, this comes from Death in Vegas's third album, Scorpio Rising.
And it's an extension of the album's intro song, which is called Leather.
Wow. Mm. It's quite dreamy with female vocalization, psychedelic distorted guitars, cheerful organs, and racing drums.
And the woman singing in this song is Susan Delane.
Oh, that's Susan? Oh my god.
In the film, it sets the tone as Bob awakens in a car on the day on the way to his hotel, and he sees all the bright lights of Tokyo at night, and it really conveys a sense of kind of surrealism and...
I think it's
odd. When we go, you're going to see. Like,
for me, going anywhere with lights is surreal because, I don't know, if you go to Vegas, it's lots of lights. In
Paris, lots of lights.
Paris, lots of lights. And I think my first memory of coming to California was during Christmas, and there were so many lights. You know what I mean? Okay. So I get the sentiment. It really conveys a sense of wonderment and surrealism. It's magical. So, Death in Vegas recorded a live version from 2003 at Brixton Academy for their fourth album, Satan Circus.
And the last time they performed this live was literally last Saturday.
No. maybe two Saturdays ago.
Literally this month at the De Leste Festival in Valencia. And we were in Madrid at
on
the time.
On that same day.
Damn, girl.
WTF.
And we were going to go to Valencia, remember? But then we decided not to, and we just spent the time in Madrid after Santiago.
Anyway, there's a mashup with Olivia Rodrigo's Making the Bed. It kind of slaps, I guess.
It was also in a movie called Debs, not to be confused with Baps. Classic. Because it's D.E.E.B.S. Just like Baps is B.A.P.S. What's Baps stand for?
I don't know.
You don't know? Keep going. I'm going to tell you in a minute.
And an episode of Veronica Mars. Anyway, we got the next track, and that's Goodbye. And it's an instrumental original by Kevin Shields. Listen to it. I gotta chew this olive.
BAP stands for Black American Princesses.
All right. So this is an ambient piece with synths.
It was Halle Berry and Natalie Dessel and Martin Landau.
And bowed guitars. It's kind of melancholic, but beautiful at the same time. So
if you know, you know.
I don't recall this being used in the film, but I'm guessing from the title it was supposed to be in the final scene where Charlotte and Bob say goodbye to each other. I think that would have been too sappy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, track number 7, Too Young. Baby, when I saw you turning at the
end of the street, I knew what time. And this song is by Phoenix, and it comes from their first album, United.
And this is one of the songs that Sophia chose herself and had written into the script.
Yeah.
I mean, needle drop, Too Young.
Right, I tell you what. Anyway, it's a Poppy Fleetwood Mac-esque rock song that includes a clavinet.
Can you play a clavinet? If you had to either put a clavinet or a saxophone in one of your songs, what's the least...
Oh, least?
Least offensive.
Least offensive, clavinet.
Okay. Wow, you really have that...
Dude.
...dislike of saxophones.
Anyway... It seems to be about someone prioritizing good times and fun as it makes them feel young, even if it means destroying relationships.
We've all been there. Go on.
Never mind.
No, tell me.
I don't know. I was just going to... I forgot.
Okay. It also seems like the singer in the song is trying to convince someone to love him despite his immaturity.
Yeah. And in the film... It's kind of like a moment of joy and fun where Charlotte brings Bob to hang out with her friends and they all have a little dance party. It's so cute.
Who would you say of the two in the film is more immature?
They each have their moments, but I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say Scarlett Johansson because she's the youngest.
I think that's a positive.
Are you talking about us? What?
No, I think that's a question that the director and the writer posit, you know, like one that they... I try to use posit. One that they pose. Like, it's a question they pose. Like, who is the immature one? Who's the child? Who's the adult? All right.
Well, Sofia Coppola, I don't know, was listening...
You're not saying that for the first time.
She was listening to this album a lot while making The Virgin Suicides and would go on to marry the lead singer, Thomas Mars, in 2011. They met in 1999 while Mars was making the video for Ayers' Playground Love, which he did the vocals for. Time's no matter, I'm on fire,
on the playground. Fucking circle. Oh. And that too, whatever you did with your fingers.
Anyway, do you remember when they were on What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes, I do. That was good. I'm going to miss that show.
Me too.
Because it was like, it'd go away for a while and it'd come back and it was just, you know, they really felt like family.
We first saw it when we first started dating.
Oh, yeah. Damn, that was a long time ago. Go on.
Well, the band member, Laurent Brankowitz, said, "The only moment that feels bizarre for us in Lost in Translation is when our song appears. Maybe it's a lack of confidence, but I can tell you it's a very strong emotion all four of us are experiencing."
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that I wouldn't say everyone. I think there's two types of people. The ones that when they see themselves in something, they're like, fuck yeah, I belong here. And the ones who say...
Which one are you?
That, the second one.
Yes.
And you're the first.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have played me every single extra walk-on scene that you'd ever had on our first date.
How do you know I played all of them for you?
Well, you showed me enough on our first date.
Well, Phoenix last performed this song in 2004. Oh, no. They last performed this song in 2024 at the Ivag Gardens Festival in Dublin, Ireland.
And lately they've been mashing this song with another song called Girlfriend for live performances. Let's take a listen.
I saw them live. I saw them at Coachella.
Okay.
This is a memorable experience.
I saw them too.
At Coachella?
Yeah.
What year?
2006?
2010.
Okay. They all run together.
Well, you know what? They performed an acoustic version in 2001. And this song was in the film Shallow Hal before it was lost in translation.
Quite the pedigree.
Yeah, much to Brian Raitzel's chagrin, since he consciously made an effort to choose songs that had not previously been in films.
Do you think he just didn't know, or was he like, everyone's nagging me to put this in?
Well, she wrote it in the film, I said.
So she was forced.
Yeah, you're just like, whatever. At least it could have been worse.
Yeah.
Okay. She just really had a crush on that song.
You know, it's like love. You just can't pick it.
Hell yeah.
It happens.
Well, the music video was directed by Steve Hanft, who has done videos for Beck. And we just watched it, and it's like them being fishermen, and at one point there's a rainbow and choreographed dancing, and... You know?
Take a watch.
Yeah, you take a watch. Okay.
Watch it. Because you know how you say take a listen?
Yeah.
Why don't you say take a watch?
Take a watch.
Okay.
And it looked like it was shot in like LA or Long Beach, or could have been Marseille.
How's that vibe?
Or Antibes.
That's funny you say that because...
it had a lot of palm trees.
Yeah. Weren't we talking about how The Substance was filmed in... Can?
No, in Antibes.
Oh, in Antibes.
Yeah. Because walking along, didn't it feel like Santa Monica?
It did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. Metronomy covered the song in
20... Is it Metronomy?
I don't know. You made fun of me last time I said their name. It was covered in... They covered the song in 2022.
But I don't know how to really pronounce it. Sorry. If I made fun of you, it was just because...
Thank you.
And hard times come and they won't leave me tonight. I wish I knew what I was doing just to let this
place survive.
Apology accepted.
This song is being remixed by Zoot Woman and La Night Club.
And I have this album.
That's like an affirmation.
Yes. It's a song, good album.
Song number 8, Kaze wo Astumete. Is that right?
Kaze wo Astumete.
Okay.
I don't know.
This is a song by Japanese folk rock band Happy End from the early 70s.
Wow. And it comes from their second album, Kazemachi Ramen.
And Brian Reitzel found this band after crate digging at bootleg record shops in Shinjuku.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's a... chill, folky, gentle Beatles-esque rock song. I'm not impressed with it, but I don't hate it. It's just like nice, like a cracker, you know?
Damn.
I know. Anyway, you got your bass, organ, drums, and acoustic guitar. It sounds like one of the songs from the Virgin Suicide soundtrack.
Then why are you hating on it? As far as song meaning, the English translation of the title is Gather the Wind.
Yeah, it was inspired by a poem... Fuyu and Anze, which the drummer saw scribbled on the wall. on a cafe. Isn't that something? Well,
you have to repeat that in a way where the intonation lets you understand what it is.
It's basically inspired by a poem by Fuyu Anzai.
And where did the drummer see this poem?
So the drummer came across this poem and was scribbled on the wall at a cafe in Shibuya.
Okay.
That's what I said. Anyway, the song begins with lyrics that translates to...
I'm sure Oprah really likes this.
Yeah, it plays in the background while Charlotte and Bob hang out in the lobby of the karaoke place and share a quiet moment. Scarlett Johansson is wearing her iconic
pink wig.
Smoking a cigarette.
I want one right now.
Anyway.
Happy End played the song live at the Happy End the Band in 1985, giving a more modern and synthy sound to it. Can we hear it?
Mm-hmm. And it's been covered by many artists, including Priscilla An, Mayu Manaka, and Asahi from Little Glee Monster.
As well as Vinny Cocotte.
Tahiti 80, you know, you got all these people.
And Brian Reitzel remade a karaoke version, which was released on a double vinyl reissue of the soundtrack last year.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, track number 9 on the subway.
So I think Brian Reitzel originally used The Cure's All Cats Are Grey for the subway scene, but he took it out because he didn't want to use such a beautiful song for such a short, like, what seems like a mundane scene.
I think that would have made it more special.
Yeah, he kind of used it for both films.
Yeah. Instead, he made a song that sounds similar to it with Roger Joseph Manning Jr. And he would get to use the Cure song later in his next film.
Marie Antoinette. Well, it's very 80s Japanese synthy sounding, this song. It has electronic drums and dreamy piano bell notes. I like it.
Me too. In the film, it sets the tone of exploring all these environments where Charlotte, like where Charlotte's taking the subway, and she's just kind of like having a good time observing people in their daily lives.
Yeah. Have you taken the subway in Tokyo?
Yeah. I was 15. And I wasn't supposed to, but I was bored. It was my first time on a subway.
What happened?
I got lost and then I found my way home.
You were lost in Tokyo?
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad was working all day. And I was supposed to stay in the hotel or in the lobby.
No, that's a film I'd like to see. Anyway, we got the next track is Ikebana.
All right, another relaxing ambient piece by Kevin Shields. No, I really like it.
Yeah, it's just happy guitar notes backed by synth pads that sound like you're walking through a cherry blossom maze.
Oh, yeah, you done that a lot?
Yeah. I know what that's like. Anyway, it emphasizes the wonderment Charlotte has as she stumbles upon the beauty of the flower arrangement session in the hotel. It's a moment of appreciation, calm, and happiness after feeling alone and lost.
Have you done Ikebana?
Girl. I had to go to rehab for Ikebana.
What about you? I don't know her.
Okay. You never done Ikebana? Let's go on the street and ask for some...
I bet downstairs there's an Ikebana.
You know where I can score some Ikebana? Alright. We got the next track, which is Sometimes.
This song comes from My Bloody Valentine's iconic album, Loveless. Did you like that album?
You know, I like some songs off of it, but some of them just...
It's definitely 90s.
Like, yeah.
It was released in what? 91. And Sophia said she listened to this album a lot while going to Cal Arts when she was an aspiring painter.
All right, whatever, Nepo baby. You don't have to go to CalArts and listen to Loveless. Right? It's, if you're wondering about the production, it's heavily strummed, distorted electric guitars.
That was a cheap shot.
A stringy synth pad and a subtle constant kick drum. You could really get lost in it.
Have you gotten lost in it?
Yeah, many times.
So you've been lost in translation.
Yeah.
It's euphoric, it's melancholic, all at the same time.
It's just beautiful, you know? You really want to just drive fast in your car.
Coming from you? That's my line. Oh my God. I want to drive fast in my car with the wind rushing over me.
Well, you know, 40 miles per hour is fast for me.
I know. I feel like I'm going to die when we're going to merge onto the freeway. When you're driving.
Well, if you're wondering about song meaning, it seems to be the singer is trying to articulate feeling in love.
The singer?
Kevin Childs.
Okay.
Sharing a moment of intimacy and connecting with someone on a dreamy level.
That's that.
Well, how's it used in the film?
It plays while Charlotte and Bob are driving back to the hotel after partying all night with friends in her pink wig. And it really captures that drunken bliss of loving the moment.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I remember looking at it going, good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
And the last time they played this was at the Hammerstein Ballroom in NYC.
Queens.
Queens.
And Kevin Shields developed tinnitus while recording this album.
Yeah. That sucks.
I think I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
My Bloody Valentine wouldn't record their next album until 2013. So, it's worth it. This song has many covers by Boris.
Sun Glitters featuring Rob Book.
Japan Cakes.
I like that name. Feroces.
Velvet Violet.
An Absence Father.
And many more.
Many more. Father, I get it. Absinthe Father.
Yeah.
Like Absinthe Father.
That's cute. We got the next track.
Alone in Kyoto.
And if you want to know about it, we already talked about it, so just listen to our Air Talkie Walkie episode.
And
don't want to repeat ourselves.
The last time they played, and this is long already, the last time they played, this was on March 28th in Paris. And this March 28th?
Yeah.
And they'll probably play it again this summer as they go on tour. Maybe they'll play it at the Hollywood Bowl with an orchestra.
I'd really love to see that.
Me too.
But we saw, hey, if we don't, we can be grateful because we saw them perform this in Seattle last summer and it was a really good show.
It was a really good show. Yeah. Even though we were kind of far back, it actually let you take it all in.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get good seats.
They were good. I thought they were great seats.
Anyway, this album and the soundtrack was all I listened to in 2004.
I listened to it quite a bit.
Nice.
But I hadn't.
But I probably listened to it more than you.
Okay.
Have you been alone in Kyoto?
I have.
What was it like? Was it sad?
It was like doing drugs without doing drugs. Not that I've ever done drugs.
You heard it here first. Well, we got our next track, Shibuya.
This is another piece by Brian Reitzel and Roger J. Manning Jr.
And it's very synth-heavy, 80s retro-sounding, John Carpenter vibes with some...
John Carpenter vibes, yes.
Totally, with some Tokyo City sound ambience. It sounds a little serious and melancholic. It reminds me of something, I don't know, Felix the House Cat would make.
Yeah.
Well, how was it used in the film?
It's kind of like... the voice of the city, you know, like the how the city would speak to someone. Like as Charlotte's walking down the streets, it's just a vibe. It's like all around you.
Big time.
Okay.
Have you been to Shibuya?
Yeah.
What'd you do there?
Just walk around, got lost.
Was it raining?
No.
Okay. Well, we got the next track, Are You Awake?
Another piece by Kevin Shields.
And it's mostly electronic with a chill house beat, something you'd hear at the TV at a nice hotel. It's very chic, kind of Roiksoff-y.
And the drums are by Brian Reitzel, the bass is by Brian Mills, who was a bassist from The Divine Comedy. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. And in the film, it sets the mood as Charlotte is in her hotel room at night, unable to sleep, and trying to occupy herself until she gets a note under her door asking, are you awake? Do you like scary movies?
We all want that note.
We do.
Yeah. I thought that was a very poignant scene because it was like everybody wants to be like, you know, feeling like they don't want to be alone. And then somebody like reaches out.
Yeah. Because you'd hate to get that message when you're sleeping.
Because you wouldn't see it till the morning.
Or no, it'd wake you up. Wouldn't that be annoying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's nice to receive messages like that when you can't sleep. It's like an insomnia buddy. You never had an insomnia buddy?
No.
Well, it could have a double entendre, like, are you really awake, or is this life just a feeling, fleeting dream? It has a couple remixes by Hernan Cataneo. And
I like Hernan Cataneo. Do you know them?
No.
Okay. This is my favorite Hernan Cataneo song.
Okay. And Eric Salazar.
Track 15, Just Like Honey. Tell us about this song.
This is a song by the Jesus and Mary Chain from their 1985 album, Psycho Candy. And it's the opening track off that album.
This is one of the first cassette tapes I ever bought. This album.
No.
Yeah.
So when Brian Reitzel was 19 and he was in a band called Missile Harmony and they opened for the Jesus Mary Chain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, you said when this happened. So you were getting to another...
I'm sorry. I meant to say that, you know, when Brian Reitzel was 19...
Oh, it's okay. It's just kind of a slow, punky, distorted guitar 80s type of song that you would totally... associated with the UK, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And the opening drum riff, did you know it was influenced by the Ronettes song Be My Baby?
No, but now I want to listen to it again.
Yeah. Many believe the song is about cunnilingus.
What?
What do you think?
It could also be about realizing that someone is so special that you're willing to be submissive for them.
Like
I don't know, like be their pussy boy.
Oh, or their plastic toy.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I like the lyric, walking back to you is the hardest thing that I can do.
Have you been there?
I've been there.
When was the last time you were there?
Anyway, the song comes on right after Charlotte and Bob take one last look at each other and part ways. Bob rides off in his car and the credits roll. Do you think in real life they would have kept in touch, though?
Depends when. Pre-internet or post-internet?
She would have looked for him on Facebook and...
Stalked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she may have been lost in, like, all the other fans trying to get a hold
of her. Damn. That sucks.
Real talk.
Anyway, in the song, it's kind of gross, though. Because she's only, like...
Oh, yeah. She's 17 or 18?
Oh, no, that's how old Scarlett Johansson was when she...
Yeah.
So, I don't know what kind of age she was trying to pass off for.
Probably like 20.
Yeah, post-college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But pre...
Graduate?
College. Okay, so she'd be 22.
Yeah.
But she was really 17.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
This song has been in films and TV shows.
No. There is a music video.
No, I want to talk about the TV shows first. You can talk about the music video after. Okay. The Man Who Loved Envy. Okay. Zach and Miri Make a Porno, Glow, and American Horror Story, Hotel, as well as 2011's Volkswagen advertisement.
Lots of good stuff there.
Lots of good stuff. Okay, now tell me about the music video.
Well, it's directed by Tim Broad, who died from AIDS in 1983.
That's the thing from his career that you decided to pick out?
There's also a John Phil version. Yeah, a John Phil session version. Has this song been sampled?
Yeah, Grimes on World Princess, 1985, The Hood Internet, Never Understand Me, Television Personalities.
Wow. The last time they performed this was in January in Taiwan with the Taiwanese singer N.O. Chang.
Another notable performance is their Glastonbury performance with Phoebe Bridgers in 2022.
Wow. And this song has been covered by Massive Attack, Annie, The Submarines, The Vitamin String Quartet, Manic Street Preachers, and many, many more.
And as far as misheard lyrics, we're resurrecting that nugget from the dead. What's a misheard lyric?
Eating out this girl's the hardest thing for me to do. When he originally says, eating up the scum is the hardest thing for me to do.
What do you think he means by eating up the scum?
Just like...
Come on, mister, I've seen this movie 75 times.
You know, taking all the crap you can take. I don't know. From whatever.
But if you're eating up the scum, you're doing it on purpose.
I don't know. What do you think it means? Eating up the scum.
I don't know. Like, it's really hard to eat up scum because I bet it tastes gross.
Yeah.
No, but I think it, to your point, means that sometimes you do things like... He probably associates eating up the scum with doing that liquor ad.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're doing the something, but you don't...
Yeah, you don't.
It's gross and you don't like it, but you're still doing it, so it's hard.
Yeah.
But you're still doing it.
Mm.
That's the point.
Yes. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. Well, there's another misheard lyric, and that's, I'll be your plastic toilet. What does he originally say?
You tell me.
I'll be a plastic toy. Then
he's... That's very different. Ramifications.
I know.
I told you about that sex museum I went to where they had this acrylic seat and then they had a dummy underneath with his mouth open.
Yeah. I
teach his own.
Those are the parties you go to. I don't know what to say. Anyway, they got Larry. And her honey dripping behind. No. Because it's in her honey dripping beehive. Beehive.
What?
Honey dripping behind. Anyway, you thought this was it? Well, there's one more track. It's called More Than This.
My favorite song. Technically, this is still track 15, but it comes on after 8 minutes of silence. And this is originally by Roxy Music and written by Brian Ferry. He's one of my idols and music gods.
Oh.
Okay. At the time, there was no way of knowing fallen leaves in the night. It's sung here by Bill Murray with music redone by Brian Reitzel and Roger J. Manning.
It's weird because I never heard you play Roxy Music or Brian Ferry.
You don't know what I listen to on my headphones, then.
Oh, damn. Okay, you're keeping things from me. I just want to share it with you.
Okay, I'll play more of it.
Sophia Coppola said, we were in the karaoke place and Bill and I were just talking about how we love that album, Roxy Music's Avalon. I said, will you sing it for me? So he did. And I thought it was so sweet that we filmed it. And luckily, we got permission to use it for the movie. Take that.
Take that.
And yeah, so it's very 80s throwback rock. I don't know how would you describe it?
How would I describe it? I describe it as like the sophisticated side of like new wave.
Hmm.
Because I would listen to this at the same time that I was listening to, like, Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
You asked.
The lyrics go, I could feel at the time there was no way of knowing, fallen leaves in the night, who can say where they're blowing. What do you make of that?
For me, it's less about the lyrics and it's more how he sings it.
Oh.
Okay.
Like, what scene would you have used it for in a movie?
In any movie?
Yeah.
The one that exists or one that's in my head?
In your head.
It would be like somebody pushing someone off a cliff.
Damn, girl.
Yeah.
Well, in this film, it's used when Bill Murray sings at karaoke and makes eyes at Charlotte. It's both funny and heartwarming at the same time. This is one of the few diegetic songs on this album. Yes. And Bill Murray has sung in many of his films.
Like, which ones?
Garfield. No, did he sing in Caddyshack or...
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. We just watched Caddyshack.
There you go. There's probably more than that.
Okay. This song has been in the films Knives Out, 200 Cigarettes, and the video game GTA Vice City. I like Vice City.
Nice. And did you know that Bill Murray's top song on Spotify is The Bare Necessities from The Jungle Book?
Okay. He sings that?
Not the original one.
Oh, I used to sing that as a kid.
All right. And he performed as Nick, the lounge singer on SNL. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
If they should fire wars, please let these Star Wars stay.
I do.
And he also has an album with Jan Vogler called The New Worlds, released in 2017.
Jan Vogler?
I haven't listened to it, though. I don't know if it's spoken word or sung. Whatever. And anyway...
Jan Vogler sounds like an organ teacher that's mean.
Recently, Bill Murray sang this at a bar in Tokyo while drinking highballs with his friend Kunichi Nomura. You know, it sounds good, highballs.
What's in a highball?
That's whiskey and soda water, right?
Let's have some.
Okay. What's groundbreaking about the soundtrack is how it mixes indie music to mirror the film's themes, really showing the tension between beauty and violence and between personal freedom and control. Sofia Coppola inspo. You know.
That was such a strange sentence.
What else?
This is one of the first films to use the juxtaposition of tone to create unsettling atmosphere.
You thought it was unsettling? How would you say it's unsettling?
Because anytime someone, like, you can't figure out what they're thinking, mm-hmm. It's unsettling because you want to know where people's heads are at. And she would, you know, there's just scenes where they're like, are they sad? Are they excited? Are they happy? That's unsettling. Booyah.
Mm. Sophia said she wrote this while living in Los Feliz as a lonely trophy wife.
Who's she married to?
Spike Jones. Mm. We already talked about that.
I know, but not about her lonely trophy wife.
Not a lonely trophy wife. Yeah, using Kevin Shields' music to symbolize Charlotte's personality, you know. His music is known for passion and elegance, but in Sophia's hands, it gets twisted into dark and violent, you know.
You sound like that character in SNL where she's like, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
With the dark hair, where she, her and the other one come get.
Manila Blondin.
That's what you sounded like.
It's just basically a cool way to show who she is. Sophia also said there's a melancholy to it. There's, just as there's a melancholy to being in your 20s, I wasn't necessarily unhappy during that time in my life, but I was trying to figure out my identity and place you? In the world.
Wait, you or her? Both she was saying us. This? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what were you like in your 20s? Yeah, I said it.
I don't know. I was living by myself for the first time after...
Would you say
I was in college and...
You were trying to figure out your identity and your place in the world?
Yeah, because I was dating a girl.
And your place in the world? You know?
I knew that.
Oh, you knew it?
Yeah.
Okay. You know it was right here on this couch.
Yes.
Next to me. Well, yeah, for sure. The music is a huge part of how you experience the story. Without this score, the movie would hit different, yo.
I mean, isn't that the case for all of her films?
Yeah.
Brian said when he came out, the record company was disappointed, but it turned out the label just got sold and they're bidding Petty Pumpkins.
No, it turned out the label.
Tell me what you're trying to say here.
Brian Raitel, the guy who.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said when the album came out.
Yeah.
He was disappointed.
Uh-huh.
Or no, the record company was disappointed.
Okay.
Because the label, but it turned out. Because the only reason they were acting like that was because the label just got sold and they were just like.
Oh, so they were just down.
They were just in a negative mindset.
Yeah.
And.
See.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think without this music in this film, it would just be boring, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No shade.
It would be much less interesting.
Yeah.
But. I feel like there's a lot of things, like, there's some songs where when I watch the music video and listen to the song, that's the experience. And if I just hear the song, it doesn't hit the same.
Wow.
So I feel like that's a lot of her music, the movies. The music's so interwoven that they're part of the movie. It's like saying, without dialogue, this movie would suck.
Well, it's like losing your leg.
No, it's more like without dialogue.
Okay, I get it. Well, after Lost in Translation was released, record companies were constantly sending Brian CDs and records. Okay. Well, what can you tell me about the legacy of the soundtrack, though?
Brian Reitzel's work on this soundtrack was revolutionary.
Uh-huh.
He showed that shoegaze and dream pop music could be just as expressive as traditional orchestration.
Wow. And the soundtrack's impact is still felt today with perfect examples, the music transcending its original context.
Just like all her other films.
Yeah, so what's your favorite track?
What is this picture? Who is this? Is it your cousin?
Oh my god. No, she's wearing the shirt that Bill Murray was wearing. And it says Lost in Translation on it. The infamous Inside Out camouflage.
Okay.
I don't know her. She's just a model for a clothing company.
My favorite track is More Than This because, yeah.
Damn.
Good times. What's yours?
Sometimes by My Bloody Valentine because it gives me the feels and I listened to it a lot when I was in Italy and it got me into the band. Did you know I went to Italy? I said that, yeah?
Yes.
What about you?
I've been to Italy.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
We spent so many months in Europe that I'm kind of glad to be home.
Yes. Well, Brian Reitzel has gone to work on films and shows like Friday Night Lights with Explosions in the Sky, Hannibal, American Gods.
Did you watch American Gods?
No, I've never seen it.
We need to see it.
Thumbsucker, Stranger Than Fiction, Beginners.
And this film and score have it all. Tell me what it has.
I think I would like to be a music supervisor. That's always been a fun job.
You've done it before?
No. I just always felt like it would be a fun job.
You'd be a good one.
It's like being a DJ, but for like...
Yeah.
Different moods.
Yeah, you have to really love film and music and the way
and
that
be
they
in touch with emotion.
That they intersect.
Yeah.
This film, or this, well, are we saying this film had these things or the soundtrack had these things?
The soundtrack. It's all about the soundtrack.
This soundtrack had 80s.
Yeah.
It had 90s.
It had 70s.
It had
it all.
It had shoegaze.
Dream pop.
Pop. Rock.
The same artist that Sofia Coppola collaborates with even after this film.
Okay.
Suntory Whiskey.
Suntory. Next week, we're back to albums. But who knows? Another soundtrack might be right around the corner. Oh, is that it for this week?
Yes.
What do you hope?
I hope you enjoyed this look at Lost in Translation soundtrack.
If you haven't seen the film or listened to the soundtrack, now's a great time.
Yeah.
But if you haven't and you're listening to this, then
shame on you.
You got bigger problems.
Yes.
All right.
What are we doing next week?
You tell me.
Radiohead, Amnesiac.
Okay.
Okay.
You didn't. You just. You hadn't been thinking of that. You like Amnesiac?
It's all right. Yeah, no, there's some good songs.
Okay.
So, I'm pretty excited. Bye.
I gotta turn it off.